As we stand, Heavenly Father, we thank you that the gospel message of Jesus is spreading throughout your world. And we thank you for those early days of your people gathering together after Jesus' resurrection. We pray that as we look back, that the truth of Jesus made known then would encourage our hearts and that your living word would fire us that we might live for Jesus today. And we ask for his sake. Amen. Do take a seat. Now, I wonder who can tell me who... I've got it on yet. Here we are. Who these people are. Still waiting, apparently. Do we all know who that is? What about this one, then? Who's that? Yes, Oprah Winfrey, looking a bit older. I suppose we all are now, but there you are. Oprah Winfrey, famous talk show host. This person? It is Beyonce, yeah. Again, singer. And then this person. Who knows who that is? Come on, you do know, really. Too shy to say. It is Justin Bieber, yeah, the Canadian singer and songwriter. Now, I wonder, who of those four people you like best? So you've got one vote, okay? And you've got to decide who you like best. So who's going to vote for him? Who's going to count? Noah, can you count? See how many you can see here? Roughly? You've seen who the choices are. So that's Harry, okay? What about Oprah? How many have we got there? Less, but a few, yeah, okay. Beyonce? Ooh. And Justin Bieber. One, two, three. One at the back as well, I think. So, Noah, who's the winner? Prince Harry. How many did he get? How many?
14.
So he had quite a lot more than some of the others, I think, didn't he? But, you know, I guess most of us like popular people because they're funny or good-looking or clever or rich or talented. But being popular is not always the most important thing. Now, this fifth book of the New Testament, the book of Acts, that we're starting to look at this morning, is about the early Christians as they realized that Jesus had physically been raised from the dead, and churches are formed, and they begin to make him known. And we're picking up from where we left off last summer, when we looked at the first six chapters of the book of Acts. Now, we discovered then that this book is really Luke's Gospel, Part 2. It's written by the same author, Dr. Luke. And it is, according to Chapter 1, about what Jesus continued to do and to teach. And so, though we normally call it the Acts, the actions of the apostles, that is, Jesus's special messengers, it might be better called the Acts of the risen Jesus through his apostles by His Holy Spirit. Well, the opening chapters of Acts have described Jesus ascending to the right hand of God and giving his gift of the Holy Spirit to strengthen his people in order that they might point people to him. And we've seen the early believers gathering together as churches in order to make Jesus known, meeting together around the apostles' teaching, sharing their lives and serving together. And yet, facing challenges of different sorts. Now, just immediately before what we read in chapter 6, we encounter the challenge of tensions in the local church where some people felt that they weren't being cared for properly. Now, the way that this tension was addressed was by appointing deacons from different backgrounds, people who would serve and care for the church family. And one of these deacons was a man called Stephen. Now, we read about him in our Bible reading from Acts chapter 6 and 7. If you want to have that reading in front of you, it is on page 101. Now, what these early believers, and Stephen in particular, found was that standing up for Jesus and making truth about him known was not likely to make you popular, though it was very, very important. And so we read of how Stephen was full of God's grace and power and was used by God to point people to the risen Jesus. We read in verse 9, some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. You see, some of the local people didn't like what Stephen was saying about Jesus, and so they tried to argue with him. But they could not, we read, withstand the wisdom and spirit with which he was speaking. God equipped Stephen, and the people couldn't find arguments to disprove what he was saying. Well, having lost the arguments, people then tried another strategy. They got people to say things about Stephen and what he had said that simply weren't true. Verse 11. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." Now these false charges wound up others so that they became very annoyed. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And then they got other people to tell lies. Verse 13. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." Well, as he stood before the council, the high priest said to Stephen, "Are these things so? Is it true what you're saying?" Well, Stephen then is inspired to give a talk, and it is probably the longest sermon recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, and he does it to explain what he's doing and why he's doing it. Now, we didn't read the whole sermon. It would have taken quite a long time, but I hope we're going to just pick out some of the highlights from it in the next minute or so. You see, Stephen's talk helps people to see that even though many don't believe, and it may be unpopular, actually God's plan is working out, and it is all centered on Jesus. So speaking to the council members, that is representatives of the Old Testament people of God, Stephen says, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham." And he explained that God had called Abraham and made a promise that he would be the beginning of a new, large family, a people who would be connected to the true and living God through a special covenant agreement. Now, Abraham's family developed through his son Isaac, his grandson Jacob, and his great-grandson, here we have him, Joseph. And he was used by God to provide for the people when there was a famine. Now, God continued to keep his promise to Abraham of a new people and raised up Moses. As verse 35 puts it, both ruler and redeemer, performing wonders and signs in Egypt and at the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. But though Moses supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, they did not understand. Indeed, though God spoke through Moses, Stephen says to the people, verse 39, "Our fathers refused to obey him, but thrust him aside, and in their hearts they turned to false gods." Yet, God continued to make his plan work out. God spoke through Moses and said that he had got a future plan that was even bigger than anything they'd yet seen. Moses told the people that sometime in the future, one greater than him would come. verse 37. God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. Well, Stephen then reminds the people that to help them understand about him better, God directed Moses to get the people to set up a special place, the tent of witness. Now, this was a place where God's presence was especially recognized. And this continued under Joshua's leadership, who rescued the people from their enemies. God's plan then involved kings ruling over the people, kings like David, and then Solomon, who built a more permanent special place for God, made of stones, known as the temple. And yet these places, where God was understood to be specially present, were just a shadow of what was to come. Because, as verse 48 puts it, Stephen says, the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands. Now, as he spoke, Stephen was making clear that he and his fellow Christians were not speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God or against this holy place, the temple. Far from disrespecting Moses and the temple that the religious leaders were so keen about, in fact, Stephen was showing them that these things point forward to what he was showing them. It was all leading to Jesus, who had just been crucified and raised. All of the Old Testament story of God's plan working out was given by God in order to prepare the way for his Messiah, his Christ, Jesus. Jesus the prophet, bringing God's word that Moses had said would come. Jesus, the one who was the true temple himself, the very presence of God on earth. Jesus, who fulfills the function of the temple as both high priest and sacrifice, making true salvation possible. Now, Stephen realized that he was not going to be popular, but he made the challenge of the gospel known. And so he ended his sermon like this, verse 51. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. So often in the past, as Jesus makes clear in his teaching, the people didn't recognize God's offer of salvation, and they mistreated those who brought it. Verse 52, Stephen says to them, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? Indeed, prophets were sometimes killed because their message was so unpopular. So Stephen adds verse 51, and they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, Jesus. All the prophets pointed forward to Jesus, but were not appreciated for it. This Jesus whom you have now betrayed and murdered, you who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. Well, having been so bold in making known the truth about Jesus, we hear verse 54. Now, when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at Stephen. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. And what happened to some of the Old Testament prophets happened to Stephen. Though he was making God's message known, he was to become the first Christian martyr. Verse 58. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. Now, sometimes you get the idea from some, even some in the institutional church, that if people in our day are to believe it, we must make the message that we proclaim popular. Some say that even means we should change the message from what God has given us in the Bible and what Christians have always believed, and instead try and make it fit to what people think. We must miss out aspects of the truth of the gospel, dilute it in order to make it more popular. But that would not really be Christianity. Now, I wonder anybody that would like a drink this morning. Anybody like a drink? Got a drink here with some of this stuff. Here we go. Come on, Ben, you tell us, what is it? It's all right, it's not poison.
Michelle.
Yes?
What?
Bit of orange squash, yeah, we've all had it, haven't we? Plenty of this over the years. And it's got real oranges in it, at least somewhere back down in the process. Lots of sugar as well, I expect. But there you are, you taste that and you know for sure that it's got orange in it, and it tastes of it. But if you keep diluting it, see the colour's changing? It's kind of still orange juice, but not really particularly obviously. And then you dilute it again. It's not going to taste very good, is it? And then dilute it again. And actually, probably if I was to give you that, you'd say, it just tastes like water. Hardly anything in it at all. Well, of course, that's what some people seem to suggest we should do with the Christian message. But of course, the orange juice is no longer really orange juice. It's not really Christianity any longer. Now, actually, what the Bible makes clear to us is that if people are to understand the good news of God's love, well, then we first need to understand the bad news that all of us are sinful. We've all turned away from God, and we can't sort out the problems that are caused by that on our own. Now, that is very challenging. Indeed, to a lot of people, it's offensive. But we must make known that Jesus died on the cross. Again, an object of offence to many. But he died on that cross in order to deal with our sins. And he rose again physically, again something that offends certain people, in order to prove it. And that all of us need Jesus, because he is the fulfillment of God's plan. Something else that people often find offensive. Now, we're reminded in the book of Acts that the gospel, the word of God, increased and spread, not because the message was popular and fitted in with the world and what it was already thinking, but because it's true. And because God's Holy Spirit opens hearts and minds in order to receive it. But at the same time, as Stephen found, some who hear the message will not like it. Some will tell lies about what Christians are saying. Some may represent us. Some may get aggressive. Some may even get violent, as Christian brothers and sisters in other parts of the world can tell us. But we must stick with the gospel and not fear opposition, because the gospel is true. God is working out his plan, and one day he will be fully proved to be correct. Jesus really did die for sins in place of others. Jesus really did rise again physically to bring new life and the beginnings of a great future. And people really need to hear about him. So here's Stephen. He stuck with the gospel. And even though he was opposed and suffered, he found Jesus standing in heaven, ready to receive him. And that is the great confidence of all who believe in Jesus too, even if the journey to get there involves opposition. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel message. We thank you that it is your power to save. That through Jesus and his death in our place for our sins, through his resurrection, the resurrection of his body, proving that one day the whole world will be remade, is the gospel that we need to hear. Father, we pray that you'd give us grace to stand firm, calling others to turn and to believe. Help us not to be intimidated. Give us and your people throughout this region, throughout this country, courage to stand firm and to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen. And we ask for his sake. Amen. Amen.